is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
In the house of the Lord one more time. Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for this wonderful privilege we have to worship God, to lift God, and to share one with another on this beautiful, blessed first Sunday morning in the month of November. God has said yes to us once again, living life and being here. We thank God for that. Through it all, we are still here. Amen. Through it all, God is still good. And through it all, God is still worthy to be praised. Yes, He is. Whether we want to or not, He's still worthy to be praised. Amen. To all of our ministers and to the leadership of this house and to all of you who are assembled here with us today and then to those who are online, we thank God for you as well. God bless you today. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Once again, we thank God for our candidates today for baptism, our new family members. Amen. I say to you once again, don't take that for granted, church. Don't take that for granted when God allows us to witness salvation and rededication and restoration. Don't take that for granted. That doesn't happen every week. That doesn't happen every day. And so whenever God allows us to witness the saving of souls, then we ought to be grateful and we ought to be on fire about that. Amen. That's the only reason our doors are open and the lights are on, is that people might see Jesus and may be saved. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you now for what we've experienced and encountered thus far. Thank you, O God, and we pray that you are pleased with what we have given unto you in our worship thus far. We pray, dear Lord, you've been pleased with our singing, with our prayer, with our participation, with our worship, with our exhortation. We pray you've been pleased with it. It's a pleasing into your nostrils, sweet savor. Now, God, we dare not leave this place or space without hearing from you. And your people need a word from you, God. We may not know it, but we need a word. Your word is what's most important to help us to manage the lives we live and to overcome obstacles and to handle certain things that come with life. Your word is the only answer. And I pray today, Father, we take a more sober approach to your word, that we won't be so cavalier when it comes to your word. We don't take it for granted. And I yield myself now to you, O God, saying, speak with my mouth and think with my mind. Speak, God, until you're done speaking. I promise to say everything you tell me to say. And when you're done talking, I will be too. But then, Lord, I pray that you will bless the hearer today and open their hearts, open their ears, their minds to what you have to say to their heart. And I pray today for strength, and I pray for encouragement, empowerment to these your people who have some stuff that are public and some things that are private. But either way it goes, God, you're able to fix it. And we trust in your providence. We trust in your care at this hour. Help us to know that you still love us, flaws and all. But you love us too much to stay in the same shape we're in. And for that, we thank you today. So now, God, we pray that the brown ground has been broken and everything is set. Your atmosphere is set that your word may go forth and have free course. And because we know how powerful your word is, we know how much deliverance we've gotten from your word, on this day, at this hour, at this moment, we'll thank you in advance for the word we're already getting ready to receive. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 4. The book of Exodus chapter 4. Second book in the Bible. Book of Exodus chapter number 4. And we want to begin reading today, verse number 1, and a few of the following. The book of Exodus, chapter number 4. We want to begin at verse number 1. The word of God reads thusly. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." We'll stop right there. Say amen for the word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We want to snatch our subject today from verse number 2. And that's the same question that the Lord asked Moses. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? Beloved, if you knew what you had this morning, it would scare you. If you knew how powerful you are in God, it would frighten you. You are no ordinary person. I know that you try to call yourself ordinary. I know that you allow people to call you ordinary or even something worse. But God's word to you today is you've got more than you think you have. It may not be practical today for some of us to look for something new and you don't even look at it or appreciate what you have right now. Within your hands is something life-changing. Within your own grasp is something that can shift the atmosphere. You don't need a new location. You need a different perspective on who you are and whose you are and what God has deposited into your life. If you knew the potential that's in your mind, if you knew the gifts that were in this room, if you knew the potential that's in this house, if we knew how we could change the community just by utilizing what's in our hands, if we knew how many lives could be saved and souls saved and destinies changed just by us activating what's in our hand, it would scare us on today. Today, this word is a word to get us on board, to get us excited, to get us enthusiastic, not about what someone else has, but what's within our own hand. Within your own possession is something amazing. Within your own possession is something that others would be appreciative of. And today, beloved, my challenge is to help you and I understand how good we have it. Everything is not as bad as you make it out to be. The good news for your life today is that you have survived 100% of the struggles you've gone through. But the problem is you haven't let the struggle go. The struggle didn't let you go. The struggle understands how powerful you are. The struggle understands how God is with you. But you're still bringing the baggage from who you used to be and bringing what somebody said about you. Every time God speaks a word to you, you recall what somebody else said about you. God says you can go up, but somebody says you're down. God says, you say, I've changed, but somebody else tell you, you ain't you the same old person. But today, I want you to examine yourself and examine your life for the first time and see what's in your hand. It's this question that God asked Moses to get him on board with the assignment that he had for his life. For God had an assignment to be the great liberator of his people. God saw that there was enough time for his people to be in bondage in Egypt. And he chose, we looked out here in Midian, on the backside of Midian, to this man named Moses who was minding his own business and tending his father-in-law's sheep. And Moses is arrested. His attention is arrested by this burning bush that he sees while tending the flock. While minding his business, God was getting ready to get in his business. And I love moments like that when you already got your own agenda, when you already think it's going to go a certain way, but then God has a right to interrupt your agenda, to interrupt your schedule programming and says, now it's time for me to interrupt this situation. I want you for myself. And now Moses has a story, beloved. Moses has a story. Everything in his life has not been a bed of roses. He was born messed up. His whole infancy was troubling. He's had some highs and some lows of life. Yet here we find God to calling him by a burning bush. He calls him to him and he says, before you come any further, take off your shoes because the place you're coming is what's called holy ground. So watch how you coming at me. I'm God. I'm showing up in your situation, but don't lose the fact that I'm still God. You are coming on holy ground. That may help one or two of us on today that we ought to change our approach when we come to church on Sunday. Don't just come up here to New Zion. You're coming to holy ground. So you ought to come with an appreciation. Come with a reverence. Come with anticipation that I'm going to meet God today. I'm going to see God today. I'm going to hear from God today. I'm going to have an experience with God. This ain't no ordinary Sunday. Today the Lord wants to see me. It would help us if we would change our perspective. He tells him, I'm going to use you. I've seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cries, and I want to use you. I want you to be the one to bring them out. I want to use you, Moses, to bring them out. But Moses is just like you and I. Me? Now, this ain't a word. Now, let me say this as I hurry. This is not a word for arrogant people. I ain't nothing I can tell y'all arrogant folks today. I want to talk to those of us who are struggling with the call of God, who don't even see themselves well enough to be used by God. Now, you arrogant folk who think y'all all that in a bag of chips, I'll find y'all next week sometime. I want to talk to people who are struggling. Is it me, God, or is this you talking? Lord, I know you're talking, but is this really me? And God has told you some stuff that might be bigger than what you can see. God is showing you something that's bigger than what you've experienced, and God wants to use you. And your question to God is, me? You want to use me? Here I am out here minding my own business, and here you go telling me? Now, I can't deny it's God because I got this burning bush I'm looking at. It'd be one thing if I'm out here in just the middle of nowhere, ain't nothing happening, but God doing something amazing to let you know it's God doing something amazing. So that means if God, watch this, if God has done something amazing for you, can I be a little nosy? Has anybody in the house had God do something amazing for you? Lift your hand. Don't be ashamed. Has God ever done something extraordinary in your life? Well, guess what? If God want to do something extraordinary for you, God want to do something extraordinary with you. And you ought to give God praise today that the same God who can do it for me is the same God who will do it in me. You can see lives change. You can be a difference maker. You can help people. You can be a blessing. You can open doors. Moses asked the question. Moses says, me? He says, me? He said, you mean tell me you want me to go tell Pharaoh, this big strong man, to let your people go? Seem like you ought to go tell him. Ain't you God? Seem like you ought to tell him. I want to use you, Moses, to tell him. He says, so when I go, who do I tell him? Sent me. Don't tell him I was. Don't tell them I will be. Right. Tell them I am sent me. That's a word for somebody. Everything you need him to be, he is. Everything you needed yesterday, he is. Everything you need tomorrow, he is. I wish I had three people and I'd be number four. That I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's coming next week, but I know that I am is going to be with me. I am. But Moses struggles with this. He struggles like some of you are today, because you can't see past who you think you are and what others have called you. Mind you, beloved, that Moses ended up in Midian on the run. Stick a pin there, and I'll come back in a minute. And so he says to him, chapter 4, he says, I still want you to go. Moses says, but what about the elders? What about the church folk? I'm sorry, what about the people of God in Egypt? You want me to go tell them, hey, y'all, God sent me to lead you out. These people ain't finna believe me. These people ain't gonna hear me. He says, tell them once again, I am that I am. And he goes further and says, well, they will not hear me. They. What makes you think they go hear me and believe anything I said? Here's what we pick up today.
what's in your hand? How is God asking you to do something, asking you to be something, asking you to have something you don't even think you can have? Beloved, if we don't wrestle with this for a minute, if we don't overcome this for a moment here today, we'll never experience what God wants us to experience. Now, I know we like to tell ourselves what God has for me is for me. But if you don't open the present, you'll never get the gift. If you don't go to the interview, you'll never get the job. If you don't say be nice to somebody, you won't catch no man or woman. You've got to do something to be able to be ready to receive what God has for you. You can't just keep sitting by the mulberry bush and watching life pass you by. There's something we got to do, but it starts with a look at what's in our hand. Lord, y'all don't know how blessed you are. You don't know how important you are, but let's begin. He says to him, what's in your hand? What's in your hand is more than what you think. Here's the problem, though. What's in your hand conflicts with what's in your heart. Can I say that again? Oftentimes, what's in our hand is in opposition, is battling with what's in our heart. So whereas God says opportunity, you say obstacle. I'm in the right house right now. Here it is. Here it is. Let me go on and get through with this because I see how y'all looking. What's in your hand? Number one, it is a symbol of self-identity. In your hand, in your possession, is a symbol of self-identity. Now, the Lord asks Moses, what's in your hand? Moses answers, a rod. Y'all missed it. Let me come over here. The Lord asked Moses, what's in your hand? It's interesting now because look at verse number one. Moses answered and says, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken to my voice. They will say the Lord hadn't appeared. And God asked him, what's in your hand? Moses' problem is his voice. God says, what's in your hand? You worried about your mouth. God say, what's in your hand? Missed it. Y'all missed it. But because of your self-identity, you can't see what's in your hand because you're hung up by what's wrong with your mouth. Every time, here it is, God has already spoken to somebody, and you've let yourself tell you, yeah, but. God already ministered to you in the last 5 minutes and said, maybe I can have it. But you told yourself, no. You might have a word, but you ain't got no credit. You got a word, but you ain't got enough education. God says, you ain't even looked at your hand. You so busy worried about what to tell them, I'm trying to get you ready for what you're going to show them. I wish I had somebody to get excited. Can I help somebody real quick? Can I ask y'all a question? Y'all believe God is sovereign? Y'all believe God is all-knowing, omniscient? That means, if we all in agreement, that means he knows what's wrong with you. Better than anybody. God knows what's wrong with you. And guess what? He still want to use you. He still wants to save you. He still wants to bless you. He still wants to strengthen you. He still wants to lift you. He still wants to... Wait a minute, let me try again. Don't y'all know God know what's wrong with you? And God says, what about what's right with you? Have you ever taken an inventory to see what's right in my... Y'all stopped saying amen right there, didn't you? Thank you, Lord, for this word. Because you and I are more geared to talk about what's wrong with ourselves as opposed to what I do have going for me. What's in your hand?
A rod. In other words, a shepherd's crook. You see me, first of all, Lord, I don't mean no disrespect, kind of a dumb question. You see me with this rod in my hand. You see what I'm doing when you call me.
I was tending my father-in-law's sheep. Now watch this. He calls it a rod, a shepherd's stick. You know why? Because it's all he sees. It's a symbol of how he sees himself. That he'll never be more than what he's doing right now. I'm finna get in a world of trouble with y'all. He think he is his occupation, not his calling. And too many of us have our identity based on the money we make or what people see or what we put on social media. We have no idea about the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and we are bought with a price. We are called for such a time as this. All we think we are is what we do every day. You just an employee. You just a mama. You just a daddy. You just a husband. You're a wife. And all you got in your hand is just this simple little life. Now, in this, y'all ready? Involved in how you see this stick is his past. It's got to be troublesome because he spent 40 years out here doing this job. And he's a shepherd. And watch this. He's tending to sheep that ain't his. All this time, all this energy, and these ain't even my sheep. I don't want to look at my hands because in chapter 2, I killed a man with the very hand. So I don't like looking at it because it reminds me of my sin. It reminds me of my past. It reminds me of my struggle. So if I don't have to look at it, I ain't got to deal with it. Many of us in this room right now, under the sound of my voice, won't look at what you have because it reminds you of past mistakes, past stuff. And so you don't see God doing anything new because you don't see anything worthwhile. All you see is what you did wrong with those hands. All you see that right now I'm not even doing something worthwhile. I'm tending to my father-in-law's sheep. It's not even mine. And somebody today can't even see what God wants to do in your life because you keep bringing up what your hands used to have. Y'all tired yet? We're so hung up on those hands that used to fight and hands that used to kill, hands that used to do other stuff that you don't even think about the fact God want to take those same hands and do something special in them. It's a symbol of self-identity. Moses don't know all he's saying. You see, every now and then, y'all, when you have talks with people, you really understand their heart. A lot of us come to church weekly. We're in here every other day. But listen to us talk. And you wouldn't believe, we believe, there is a God. I listen to how we are so negative, how we are so critical. How we're so divisive. How we're so, to the point it makes you wonder, do we really believe? That's why I'm glad the Lord ain't asked Moses, what's in your mouth? Because your mouth reveals where your mind at. I asked you where your mouth at. Right now, I don't want you saying nothing. Right now, I want you showing something. And in your hand is something more than you think. But I need you to get beyond your past. Watch this. Y'all ain't gonna like this. Y'all ain't gonna like it. Y'all already done kind of shut down. But let me say this to you. Chapter 2, I told you he killed a man, right? He killed an Egyptian. Protecting Israel. Okay, I'm going to come back. Moses, on the run from Egypt. Now, he at one point was kind of in Pharaoh's house. But somehow, some way, he decided to defend an Israelite, one of his people, when he saw a bad Egyptian handling him. And he killed the Egyptian. and saved Israel. Well, maybe I need, who I need to talk to? I don't run out of people to talk to. I don't run out of sides. I ain't got but two sides to talk to. Moses, who God has called to save Israel. Now, in a way, saved Israel then.
Y'all still ain't, y'all ain't feeling me.
He saw oppressive Egypt oppressing one of his people, and he killed the Egyptian and saved the Israelite. God done called him in Exodus chapter 3 because I see Israel struggling, and I know who have feelings about my people, and I know who don't like seeing my people oppressed. What am I saying? You've been doing ministry. You just ain't have a title. God has already been preparing you to do what you're doing. You just ain't got no name on it. Can anybody give God praise that you already meet the prerequisite? You've been doing what's in your heart to do. Here it is, y'all. Some stuff God gonna call you to. Because you already been called to it without having to be called. See, God oftentimes want to test your sincerity. He wants to see where your heart at. See, he don't want nobody being called when everybody else getting called. See, by the time he calls you, it's really too late. You already been walking in that purpose. You already been walking in that area, but you ain't have to have a label on it. God, deliver me from people who got to have burning bush moments and can't have moments when nobody's been seen. Well, ain't nothing but a rod. Ain't nothing but a little job. Ain't nothing but this little family. Ain't nothing but this little church I got. Ain't nothing but this little ministry. The old ball and chain. This little job. This little bit of money. It's what you call it. Because of your experiences. Now, I got one question, actually, and I'm gonna move on. Do y'all see anywhere I mention the devil? Because we love putting stuff on the devil. Have I mentioned the devil yet? It's self-identity. Sometimes the devil ain't got to kill you. You killing yourself. He ain't got to destroy you. You destroy, I'm gonna get in trouble. He ain't got to counsel you out. You done canceled yourself out. He ain't got to take nothing from you because some of y'all don't want nothing no way. Some of us just don't want nothing. Ain't nothing for the devil to do. Because we don't want nothing. Because you don't even see yourself right. You can't see past your mistake. Can't see past what you're doing. Can't see past what somebody called you. So why would you see anything in your hands worthwhile? But while you're doing that, ask a question to yourself. But why is the Lord talking to me? Well, let me show you what else in your hand. Not only is it a symbol of self-identity, but it's also a source of sovereign involvement. I know it's a whole lot of big words. But all it means is what's in your hand gonna be a whole lot more meaningful when you get your hand off of it. I wish I had somebody help me. When you let it go for a minute and let God have what's in your hand, by the time you get it back, I'm going to show it to you in the text. I'm going to show it to you in the text. Y'all think I make stuff up. I know you ain't right, Moses. You might be who I want, but you ain't ready. Because ain't no sense me sending you to Egypt and you don't even know what you got. You've got to be confident enough to go to Egypt and do what I've assigned you to do. But until you see yourself, and until you see me, God says, you won't be able to conquer anything. So now, here I got a question, because watch what happens in the text. In the text, God tells Moses, lay it on the ground. Y'all waiting on me, I'm waiting on y'all. The Lord says to Moses, put it on the ground. Since it ain't nothing, let it go. it ain't but a little job, let it go. I done lost everybody in the room. It ain't no but a little church, stop coming. You complain about it, don't complain about it, man, let it go. If it ain't nothing, why are you holding it? Why would you have some in your hand you don't see right? Why you keeping some you don't even value? You know why we hold it? Because if I don't hold it, what am I going to complain about? Because, see, if I hold it, maybe I won't have to deal with me. If I keep focusing on it in my hand, maybe I never got to deal with my heart. So let me stay busy but not be productive. Let me stay active but not be anointed. Lord, hold your boy. You say it ain't nothing but a rod. Put it down. Now, putting it down means let go of control. Put it in the Lord's hand. It's interesting, the Lord didn't say lift it up. Because I can't, you ain't going to lift it up till you learn how to lift me up. So, put it down. Let go of control of it. Are y'all hearing God? You got to learn, it'll be more when you stop trying to work with it. You got to trust that God will give it back to you, but you can't have two sovereign masters. And maybe God is asking somebody a question today, who gonna be God, me or you? If you got all the answers, stop asking me questions. If you know what you're doing, don't give it to me, then take it right back. Don't come to the bank, withdraw 100, and then deposit the same 100 back. Y'all will catch that maybe sometime this week. Let me get 100, please. And to go right back in the window, I'm depositing 100. Now, you making transactions, but you ain't making no progress. And some of us day in and day out are not, we're making transactions, but we ain't benefiting ourselves because we keep taking it and then giving it to God. I'm going to give it to you, God, then you worry about it. I'm giving it to you, God, then you're stressing about it. I'm going to give it to you, God, but I'm on medicine for it. I'm going to give it to you, God, but I'm running behind it. I'm going to give it to you, God, but I'm on Facebook. I'm going to give it to you, God, but I'm fighting. I'm going to give it to you, God, but I'm cussing you out. Who going to be God? Oh, that's so noble, isn't it? I just got the, see, I care. And when you care, you have to worry. No, in the blue cheese dressing, you do not have to worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. I ain't got to worry. And stop letting worrying people make you worry about them. They get mad at you because you don't worry. They get mad at you because you don't stress. Well, guess what? This joy I got, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This peace I got, the world ain't give it. Let me leave that alone. People get mad at you when you ain't tripping. I got to move. I want to pitch my tent there, man, but I'm going to move. I'm just tabernacling through today, but I really want to pitch my tent and at least have a marshmallow roast just for a minute. I really want to pitch my tent. I've been in the funeral business all my life in one way, shape, form, or fashion. And I ain't never seen a group of people who come just to see how folk take it. You're not coming to honor the dead. You're not coming to support the family. You're not coming to be in the support. You're coming to see how somebody took it. And the first question that you ask when somebody at home, how did she take it? Well, man, how you thought I took it? I lost my mama. I lost my daddy. But then if nobody didn't cry like a fool, man, we saw some mess then. She must not have been something right because she ain't do nothing. She ain't so much as whimper. But when you done what you supposed to do for people when they living, you ain't got to get all crazy when they die. Matter of fact, you'll be happy because you know you left things right. Riding out there on that casket on the hearse ain't going to help them come back. Mama, come back. No, I want to go. Push them in there and see if they're going to stay. I dare you, push them in the hole. Take me, Lord. Push them and see what they do. All this stuff ain't nothing but performances. Foolishness. And they do all that cutting up. And time to get to the cemetery. Foolishness. You ain't hurt. You're crazy. And about 15 years ago, they kind of implemented something around here. It's been going on in big cities, but they implemented something around here. And they start asking that the family would just stay. And those who are not immediate family, please leave. And let the family have their time to grieve. Now, what I would do, if I ain't immediate family, go home. Not my people. Looking through them doors back there. Pretend to come in and fan somebody. You ain't family. Get out of here. When you done what you supposed to do, when you trust God with it, trust God with the situation, you take your hands off of it. And then let God do something with it. Watch this. It's when you put it in God's hands, you realize what it can be. As long as you controlling it, as long as you got it, it won't be anything more than a rod. But watch what happens when you let go. The Bible says it became a snake. You missed it. This snake ain't an enemy. This snake is what's going to be used to counteract because the Egyptians had snakes. The Egyptians worshiped snakes. So God says, when you let go, I'm going to give you power over their power. Y'all done missed your shout. If you won't ever have power until you learn how to let go. You'll never conquer stuff until you let it go. Nobody told you to be super spiritual. Nobody told you to be Superman. There's this story of Muhammad Ali, who was catching a flight one day. And the stewardess asked Muhammad Ali, she said, sir, put on your seatbelt because we're getting ready to ascend. And Muhammad Ali, anybody knows this story, he can always be kind of flipped at the mouth. And Muhammad Ali says, Superman don't need a seatbelt. Well, he must have ran into the right stewardess because she said, well, if you're Superman, you don't need no plane. What am I saying to somebody today? If you're really bad, don't handle it by yourself. But when you know you need the Lord, don't let it go. Stop trying to be Superman. Stop being Superwoman. All of us are limited in one way, shape, form, or fashion. We are all so heavy. If you let it go, you have no idea the potential when God get a hold to it. Ooh, Lord. I want to feed a multitude. I want to feed these 5,000, then not counting the men and the children. What's in your hand? We ain't got nothing. But a little boy there with two fish and five loaves of bread. Okay, let it go and give it to me. And when you give it to me, you're not going to have enough. You'll have more than enough, and you'll have some leftovers. Can anybody say today, Lord, I'm hearing. I hear you, God. I'm learning, God. If I take it out of my hand and put it in your big old hands, a whole lot of stuff can happen when I let it go. Oh, I got you. You think because in your hand, it's under your control. Oh, you missed your shout. The shout is, it's in your hand not by ownership, it's in your hand by stewardship. That ain't your house. That ain't your child. That ain't your church. It's what God allowed you to work with for right now. It ain't yours, so why try to control something that ain't yours? Didn't I just tell y'all a while ago that Moses is taking care of his father-in-law's sheep? That ain't your stick. That ain't your sheep. So you ought to have no problem letting it go. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. Because we want to run stuff. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, let it go. Put it down today. Stop worrying about that doctor visit. Stop worrying about them jokers. Stop worrying about them liars. Stop worrying about them rumors. Stop worrying about who don't like you. Stop worrying about how they coming at you. Let it go today. I don't know about y'all, but I hear God talking to me. Today, I'm letting it go. I'm not going to worry about something I can't change. Worry about people I can't change. I'm going to put it in God's hand and watch him do amazing stuff with me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you let it go, it may go from a job to a career. If you let it go, it may go from a moment to your ministry. If you let it go, it may go from a provision to what you need. Let it go. Take your hand off of it for a while. And when you put it back in your hand, you're going to see something you ain't never seen before. Can I prove it to you? When that thing turned to a serpent, Moses. I'm going to try it again. When Moses let that thing go and the Lord turned it to something that wasn't really meant to scare him, it was meant to support him. But when you see what God want to do at first, it's go. Because God gonna do something in your life you ain't ever seen before. And you gonna wonder, how could God do that in Winfield? How could God get a mayor in Black Mary in Winfield? How could God lift you from cancer and you at stage 5? How could God open doors for you and you don't know what you're doing? It ought to scare you. It ought to shock you. It ought to mess you up how good God is. Somebody will tell God thank you right there. Somebody tell God thank you right there. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power. I said power. Let it go. Help me preach. Tell your neighbor, let it go. Can I help somebody? I don't know if I can help nobody yet, but I know I'm helping me. Can I tell you something? You can't be the master of ceremony and the preacher and the choir and the pew member. How you gonna preside over your own miracle? How you gonna preside over your own blessing? Let it go. Letting it go means I'm open to see something different. You'll know if you're ready to see something different by how much you can let some stuff go. You ain't got but one problem. Ain't but one problem when you let it go.
you ain't gonna get no credit.
You can't. Because it wasn't turning the snakes while it was in your hand. It didn't change till you let it go. I'm making somebody mad right there. Because you can't be, it's gonna be part of it, y'all, that can't be explained. Y'all remember old school Walmart? Back there in the back, in the film, the photo department, we would go in with the film and turn it in. And they tell you, come back a few days later and you'll see pictures. Try again. You go in with the film from your camera, turn in the Walmart photo lab, and a few days later, they got an envelope with your name on it with the pictures you took. While they did it, it was a process. They took you to a place called a dark room. And in the dark room, can't nobody see. But while it's dark, stuff getting developed. And you can't explain how it happened. You don't know when it happened. You don't know how it happened. But you know that somehow, some way, in the dark room, something got developed. And by the time your appointment came, you had a pretty picture. Can anybody give God praise? When you let it go and gave it to the Lord, it went to a dark room where you could not see. Let me quit. Let it go. I know you're a man. Let it go. I know you macho. Let it go. I know you got all the answers. Let it go. I know you got a beard. Let it go. I know you got a 401k. Let it go. I know you're a woman. I know you've been hurt. Let it go. I know daddy didn't do right. Let it go. I know hubby cakes ain't do right. Let it go. The longer you hold it, the longer you hold it. You missed it. Now, let me show you why you got to let it go. Then God says, pick it back up. But this time, catch it by the tail. Because it's not a stick, it's a serpent. And you want to mess around and get your hand bit. They tell you control the snake by getting at the head. But God say don't control it, handle it. Catch it by the, which means I ain't trying to run it, I'm going to let it run me. And you ought to learn how to let the Lord guide you. Let the Lord lead you. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus. He's my friend and he's my guide. I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. And I found out that when I trust him, he will provide. If you grab it by the head, you go choke your own blessing. Put it down, then grab it by the tail. You don't try to control it, just cope with it. Because you've seen God do something with it, why would you try to grab it by the head? My amens went down by 78%. Here's the shout. God didn't fire Moses. God just told him, let the stick go for a minute. Letting it go don't mean he threw with you. It means he really want to get started with you. But you got to let it go. And some of us are delaying our own blessing because we won't let it go. You don't need to know every detail. Matter of fact, I don't want to know how this thing turned from a stick to a snake. The truth of it is, when it turns to a snake, that supposedly equals the enemy, that means it's too big for me to try to control anyway. Let me quit. It's the symbol of self-identity. It's a source of sovereign involvement. When you let it go and let the Lord get it, he'll give it back, but it's something totally different. And thirdly and finally, it's a sign of significant importance. In your your hand is something of significant importance. Get it back, Moses. Get it back. And when you get it back in your hand, go. Now Moses still struggles like we do. The Lord done showed him that. And if you'll keep reading chapter 4, Moses says, well, I don't talk right. Now we ought to have more sense than Moses by now. You done seen God turn his stick to a snake. I'm still questioning. Now, if the Lord done that with his hand, I wouldn't really say nothing about the mouth. Because who knows what the Lord would do. Y'all missed that. Keep that stick with you. And by that they will know that I, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have been with you. Don't go boasting and bragging. Just say what I told you to say and let that sign in your hand be a symbol that God is with you. You going to enemy country? You going to a difficult job? You going to a crazy family? But lift up the symbol that I am with you. Don't quit the journey. Don't cuss them out. Don't get them back. Just lift up the symbol that I am with you. In Moses' hands, a stick can divide waters, can bring about plagues. In LeBron James' hand, a basketball can get you a triple-double. In a plumber's hand, a screwdriver can heal a house. In Jesus' hand, a nail can save a whole world. But in your hand, lives can be changed. Souls can be saved. Homes can be healed. Bodies can be delivered. Can somebody give God praise for what's in your hand? I don't want nobody else's hand. I want your hand, which you put in my hand. Thank God what he put in our hand. Never again devalue what God has given you. See how God can multiply. See how God can add. See how God can work with what you got when it's in your hand. What an awesome assignment you have from God. Even with your sins and your struggles and your setbacks and shortcomings, God has still put something. Somebody say still. Still put something in your hand. Church, I wish I had all I could communicate to you today about how much better you got it than you think you do. You're not a loser, not a failure. You're only a failure if you don't try. And God, I need 3 real witnesses to help me with this. God will never make you shame for trusting him. Do I have anybody who will witness? Ever make you shame for trusting him. Now, watch this. Y'all stay standing. But watch this. You got to be willing to lift what's in your hand for a moment when nobody wants it. You got to still lift your hand in seasons when nobody appreciated. Y'all, Moses oftentimes lifted that stick for people who always complained about him. I'm trying to save y'all, and y'all keep complaining. If I don't lift this stick, y'all don't come across the Red Sea. And sometimes you guys just lift that thing in silence and say, Lord, I see you in the midst of it. I don't even hear the noise. I don't even hear the mess. I just got to, Lord, keep trusting you. You got to lift that stick even though they never say thank you. because it was God who gave it to you. It cost the Lord his son to put something in our hands. And the Lord wants a return on his investment. What's in your hands today? It's something in your hand that no, it's not in somebody else's hand. That's how the body of Christ works, when nobody has everything in their one hand. We all got a diversity of gift in the body of Christ. Stop putting down what God put in there and try to take from somebody what he didn't. If you can't sing, guess what, man? Just sing with them. Don't mean you can't, don't mean you ain't got a special gift. See, some people got a special gift to just sing. And if you can't stand that and you can't sing, just stay shower ministry. Y'all will catch that before we go over to. That's when it sounds best. Shower ministry. But don't just try to take it and it's not yours. That's not what God put in your hand. But God put support in your hand. Administration in your hand. Helps in your hand. Green thumb. Some people got a green thumb. Some people have a gift for cooking. Others don't. And that's okay. It's okay. You may not make recipes. You may make reservations. But you take that same stirring hand and you call 628 whoever, and order your food. Party or two, please. I'd rather you do that than give somebody salmonella trying to prove a point. All for Jesus. I cook too. No, you can't. People just love you enough that it's going to try. I'm not saying I do this. But Marcitas created this and not me. I ain't got nothing to do with this, my own Marcitas. When somebody will prepare some less than, now they tell me don't do it. There's a teaching I've shared. It ain't in the Bible. It's just what I've shared. That every now and then, some people will prepare some concoctions that are not pleasing to the palate. That's the best way I can say. It just don't taste good. And we'll tell them, no one hurt their feelings, so we'll just tell them, it hit the spot. And I ain't lying when I say that. Because I get a sign and tape it to the trash can. And so the truth of it is, it hit